heal our broken hearts. Let your presence overwhelm. Come restore and make us new. God, we need you to come.
And welcome to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host for the next 30 minutes as we talk about faith and the importance of faith in the different areas of our lives. Whether today you're in the workplace, maybe you're a student, an at-home parent, maybe you're recovering from the passing of a loved one, or just maybe you're someone who's never really had faith and you're starting to search for what your purpose is. Well, the next 30 minutes, we interview everyday people who share their everyday faith. And we like to start the program with a scripture reading. This is something that comes out of the Bible, and I happen to be reading in the New Testament a fantastic book in the New Testament called the Acts of the Apostles. This comes from Acts chapter 16, verses 25 to 34. So it's a little bit of a lengthy read here, but it's about the Apostle Paul has just been thrown in jail, and he's with his sidekick Silas. And just watch what happens when the Apostle Paul gets thrown in jail. It goes like this. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword, and he was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must we do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once, he and his family. Then he brought them up into his house and set food before them, and he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. Wow, I love that story from the Acts of the Apostles. On this program, we like to say that if you know Christ as your Savior, but you're going through a difficult or dry time, seek God through His Word. So read the Bible. God will use it to revive you. If you don't yet know Christ, read the Bible and ask God to reveal Himself to you. He will, and you never will be the same again. You'll be a new creation. There's life-giving power in the Word, because it brings a person into a living relationship with the living God. On this program, we say read the Bible or read the Word. Just do it. And again, thank you so much for joining us today on the show. This is Everyday Faith Radio. We have all our podcasts are loaded up on iTunes. If you've missed a previous program, you can also go to our website. It's mark5ministries.com. We have some of these recorded on YouTube as well. Again, thanks for joining us. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host. I'm so excited for today's guest, so please stay with us. We'll be right back in just a moment.
Here's what's happening in Central Virginia, sponsored by Virginia Blood Services. Give the gift of life this Valentine's Day and donate blood with UVA medical students on Tuesday, February 14th from noon to 5. Look for the Bloodmobile at Jordan Hall right next to the loading dock at the University of Virginia Medical Center. Virginia Discovery Museum will once again sponsor Kidvention. Kidvention is a family-friendly science festival at the Key Recreation Center on Market Street in downtown Charlottesville on Saturday, February 18th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's free, but donations are welcome. Visit vadm.org. The 59th annual Chitterling Dinner at the Piney River Volunteer Fire Department will happen on February 18th from noon to 7. They'll also serve chicken, roast beef, ham, veggies, and dessert. Proceeds benefit the Piney River Volunteer Fire Department. If your charity or nonprofit has an event, email your information at least 4 weeks in advance to psa@seavillestations.com. For more events, visit our website, wchv.com.
And in your hour of desperation, know you're not the only one. Pray, Lord above, I need
And welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host, and with us on the program, back with us, is the good doctor, Joel Jenkins, is with us. Many of you in this town know Joel Jenkins. He was the former pastor at First Baptist here in Charlottesville. He's also a retired colonel in the U.S. Army, spent some time overseas as a chaplain. And he has been an incredible resource for me and a mentor. And he's one of those guys, I will just say this as we introduce him, that when the opportunity to start this program, Everyday Faith Radio, when that opportunity presented itself, I went to Dr. Jenkins and asked him what he thought. And just a great man of encouragement, said, do it, go for it. And so, Dr. Jenkins, thanks for being on the program, and thanks for your encouragement.
Hey, Jeff. Glad to be here, man. I enjoy listening to the program. I have, most of the time, I get to listen to part of it, at least, on Sunday morning live. But then if I miss something, I try to grab the podcast. I've been speaking at a church in Crozet for about 14 months until they were able to get a permanent senior pastor. But now that my task is completed over there, I'll be able to listen to the whole program before I go to church somewhere else.
Mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished.
Another one. Well, there's so much I want to chat with you about, but let me start it off with this, because we've been going through kind of a series on this program called Walking by Faith. The Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight, or we live by faith or not by sight. And I'm wondering if you could sort of take that and give us an application in your life, how that verse would sort of apply to you.
Well, I could probably spend the rest of the day talking about that, because in the last year and a half, my family and I, my wife and I particularly, we have really walked by faith in a lot of arenas, but we lost her mother to cancer. We lost my dad 2 months ago. We lost my father-in-law 3 months ago. Recently, my son-in-law's 60-year-old mother died from cancer. So we've had a lot of tests, you might say. Does faith really meet the need in a time of challenge and stress? And I'm here to tell you, it more than meets the need. So if faith meets our needs in those most difficult days, then why would it not meet our needs on a daily basis? So I think this is a great topic, because being a person of faith, that not only establishes a relationship with a God who loves us and wants to relate to us, but then we understand our purpose, as you used that word earlier. We understand that we're here for a reason. So walking by faith means I am connected to my reason for being on this earth.
That's powerful. Well, let's take it back to the book of Acts. And by the way, for any of our listeners who maybe are looking for a good starting point in reading the Bible, we talk about that a lot on this show, read the Word or read the Bible, get into it. And some people don't know where to start. The book of Acts is a great place to start. It picks up right at the resurrection of Jesus, and then it goes into his ascension into heaven. But before he goes, he tells his disciples that the Holy Spirit's coming. You're going to receive power, and then they'll go out and be his witness throughout the nations. And we see a lot of these blue-collar disciples go out and live out their faith. Well, in this particular chapter, we come upon formerly Saul of Tarsus. He's now been converted, meets Jesus, has a radical transformation, and he's now the Apostle Paul. And his faith is so strong, you can throw him in the jail cell, and he feels that kind of no matter where he's going, he's so connected with God that no matter where he goes, he's going to let his light shine, and he's going to go about his business, which is preaching the gospel. So I love it. He's shackled in the prison cell, and they said that he was singing and worshiping God in the prison cell. And then he ends up, we have the miraculous unshackling that occurs, and he ends up converting the prison guard, which then, you know, I think Paul senses that, well, that was my purpose all along. Hmm. So talk about walking by faith.
Wow. Yeah. You've excited me because that's one of my favorite passages in the entire Bible, but especially in the New Testament. I like to think about it this way. If you use the term free behind bars, you look at the jailer, for instance. This man was ready to end his life because he thought these prisoners had escaped, and I'm sure he thought that his death would be much more painful if the Romans did it instead of himself. But he was also obviously felt to be a failure. He felt that what he was tasked to do, he had failed. So he was ready to end his life. Well, Paul and Silas, as you pointed out, what were they doing at midnight? And by the way, they had been severely beaten. They were in the inner prison. I read some time ago that when the Romans put you in the inner prison stocks, they turned your feet when they put you in those wooden stocks so that you would have constant pain. They wanted you to remember you were in a Roman prison. And it was in that particular point that they were singing and filled with joy.
No matter what you do to me, I'm still going to worship God. And and talk about walking by faith. And when I... You know, Dr. Jenkins, when I read that passage, my mind floats back to Genesis and the story of Joseph in the prison. And Joseph, what a rough go he has in the Old Testament. His brothers sell him into slavery, and he ends up being thrown in prison, falsely accused later on. But the Bible says that he was, being Joseph, he was a successful man. God was with him, and he was a successful man. Sort of a different definition of success. Here he is being sold at the slave auction, and yet the Bible defines him as a successful man. But after all of that goes on, we know that that God's favor was on Joseph, and he ends up being the number two man in all of Egypt, and ends up saving Israel as a result of that. But the punchline verse for me with Joseph now is, I'm paraphrasing this, Dr. Jenkins, but Genesis chapter 50, verse 20 says, my words, kind of my translation of it, what the enemy meant for bad, God will use for good. Mm-hmm. And I flip to that verse in my mind when I think about Paul being tossed in the jail. What you and I would say, boy, some really bad luck there for Paul. He doesn't see it like that. He's, you know, walking by faith, and he says, you know, wherever I go, if that's God's will for me to be there, I'm gonna use all the time and all the breath that I have to share Christ with others. It's just that whole book of Acts, when you see and study the conversion of Paul and his boldness and zeal after that, that just fires me up.
Well, I have to totally agree with you, and I think something else that I take from that, when the earthquake came to release Paul and Silas, a normal person would have said, hey, let's hit the road. You know, we're free. But Paul realizes every time God blesses us, it's so that we in turn can bless others. Ooh. And so he stayed around. Mm-hmm. He said, there's work for me to do here. And now I can get my message across because this jailer's not going to expect us to stay. Mm-hmm. So when he sees us here, he's going to know there's something different about us. Mm. And the jailer basically said, I want what you've got.
Yes.
What do I have to do? And you read later that the jailer, the guy who probably put the wounds on them, washed their wounds. I can imagine the reason his whole family came to faith is they'd never seen daddy like this before. Wow, this is not our dad. He fed them meat, took them into his home. They saw a new daddy. And later, the scripture says, the whole family came to faith. So that night was a great moving, not just a shaking of the prison walls, but a shaking of a life.
Wow.
And I think God wants to operate that way in all of us. Mm-hmm. We may not find ourselves in the inner prison, like the jail cell, but we may be in other types of prisons. Mm-hmm. We may be battling illness. We may be battling finances. We may be battling relationships. Mm-hmm. Let's give God a chance to set us free so that then we can be blessed, but then we become a blessing.
Mm. Amen. Good word with Dr. Joel Jenkins, and this is Everyday Faith Radio. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more Everyday Faith Radio. We'll be back in just a moment. Please stay with us.
Here's what's happening in Central Virginia, sponsored by Virginia Blood Services. Art Fest in the West, a medieval-themed night of fun sponsored by Arts and Western Education, will happen on Friday, March 3rd in the Western Albemarle High School cafeteria. It's free and includes music and performances. Proceeds benefit Western Albemarle Public Schools. Visit artsandwesterned.org. Your chance to be as brave as a penguin is coming up. The annual Fluvanna Penguin Plunge will happen on February 18th at Lake Monticello. Proceeds benefit Fluvanna County Meals on Wheels, Fluvanna SPCA, and Lake Monticello Rescue Squad. Visit FluvannaPenguinPlunge.org. The Junior League of Seville Community Grants Program awards up to $2,500 to help nonprofit organizations. The spring application deadline is March 3rd at 5 p.m. Visit jlseville.org. If your charity or nonprofit has an event, email your information at least 4 weeks in advance to psa@sevillestations.com. For more events, visit our website, wchv.com.
And welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host, and with us on the program today is Dr. Joel Jenkins. And we have just broken down part of the book of Acts in the New Testament. And Dr. Jenkins, I have so many questions for you, and I always get excited with you on the program. But let me start with this one. So I run into folks who have not yet embraced faith. And one of the stumbling blocks has been that I hear time and again, I've done too much wrong in my life. God can't possibly use me. It's just, I've got a rap sheet that's too long. Mm-hmm. Certainly I can't be forgiven and any good to, and so it's kind of the unworthiness starts to show up, and then we read the book of Acts, and a lot of it is about Paul's life, and I'm fascinated by the conversion of Saul to Paul, and so I've got a couple of questions here, but one of the questions that I have, I guess I'll start with, is what would you say to any of our listeners that are struggling with the unworthiness that God can't possibly use me? I should just kind of stay in the rut that I'm in and not get out.
Mm-hmm. Well, it may sound a little bit ironic for me to say this, but I think those are the best candidates to really come to faith. Mm-hmm. We don't approach God very well when we decide we're worthy. When we decide, okay, yeah, I know God probably wants me. You know, I haven't done all those bad things that others have done, so I'm going to step up and offer myself, you know, and I'm a great candidate. No, if we don't start at the point, if all of us don't start at the same point that Saul, who later became Paul, did, and understand that we are far from God. And the sin, the Greek word is hamartia. It means missing the mark. It's a target word. Well, we've all missed the mark. Mm-hmm. And none of us can stand upon our own past and say, okay, I guess I'm okay. Mm-hmm. I think the thing that Paul was trying to say to us when he claimed to be the chief of sinners, mm-hmm. he was illustrating that if God will take me, mm-hmm. then anybody else, their rap sheet's not like mine. Because he consented to the killing of Christians.
Yes.
He was considered a murderer, mm-hmm. and he felt the guilt of that. But he also understood the grace of God. John mm-hmm. Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace, was a slave ship captain who ran many, many trips from Africa to America, hauling slaves to the West Indies and even to the mainland. And many of them died, and yet he was involved in that kind of a business for profit. But when John Newton became a man of faith, he didn't believe God could forgive him. But when he received that forgiveness is when he wrote Amazing Grace. Mm. How great the sound. Mm. You know, and I'm not worthy is the whole point of Amazing Grace. Mm. So the key is not that we are amazing, but that God is amazing. Oh, the key is not that we bring a lot to offer God, but that God is willing to offer his marvelous grace to us. And it is sufficient for any and all. But if you consider yourself unworthy, I would say to you, hey, you're at a great place because God can respond to a person who realizes that they don't have anything to offer God.
So there's actually a getting on ramp for faith there if you struggle with unworthiness, because it's really kind of the path of humility. It's maybe it's running parallel to the path of humility, which
I think they're inseparable. I think we have to have that sense of brokenness first, mm-hmm. that comes from recognizing that we have fallen, mm-hmm. recognizing that we've made so many mistakes in our lives, recognizing that we've owned them. Mm-hmm. We've not tried to blame them on anyone else. We realize, wow, look at me. I'm a wretched man, as it says in Amazing Grace. But I'm also wanting to change, and I can't change myself. When I was in control is when I made all those mistakes. When I was driving the ship, I ran it aground. So faith allows me to say, I need a new master at the helm. I need a new captain. I need someone else to take over my life and let me find my real meaning and purpose through serving the God who created me and loved me so much that he sent Christ. As the scripture says, he loved me so much even while I was in my sin. So if I've got a lot of sin, his love is even more. So greater love for the greater sinner, I suppose we could say. The scripture says that God gives more grace if we need it. So I think that his love is also given in greater amounts if needed. And his forgiveness as well.
We're talking with Dr. Joel Jenkins, and this is Everyday Faith Radio. I have so many questions for you. I'm going to try to have some semblance of order. But how about this? Since I understand you know God pretty well, I think you'll know the answer. But I've wondered and had others ask me, why does God often changed the name of some of the characters in the Bible? In the Old Testament, I can't name them all, but you have Jacob, and then he has an encounter with God. He becomes Israel. You have Simon, and then he becomes a disciple, and he's now Peter. And then you have Saul. And then after his incredible encounter with Jesus, he's now Paul. What is the renaming? What's that all about?
I think there is, could be a multiplicity of parts to that, and each one may be a little bit different. But I think overall, it's a way for God to say that now through me, you have become that new birthed person, as Jesus called it, being born again. You have become that new creation. Peter uses the phrase that new and lively hope has broken out in our life. So we literally have become a new creation. So it probably would be well for all of us to contemplate a name change if we can't overcome our past. But in one sense, maybe it's better to keep that old name and show the new person so that others may realize there's hope for them also. But I think it's reflective of the fact that God, when he transforms a person, he doesn't just do renovation. It's a new creation. He is taking that which was old and letting it die. You know, the whole idea of baptism, we're buried with Christ in baptism. The old person goes away. And when we're raised with Christ in baptism, we're raised into a brand new life. And we can't really grasp all of that, but I can tell you it's real. From my own walk, and I'm certain you can identify with that.
Yes. And so 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Apostle Paul says, whoever is in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone, and the new has come. Powerful, powerful word of God.
Absolutely. And I think we also realize, though, even once we begin that walk, and we begin it, sometimes it's a traumatic event, Sometimes it's a gradual event. I remember Ruth Graham, Billy Graham's wife, her comment when asked once, when did you become a Christian? She was brought up in the home of Presbyterian missionaries in China. She said, I don't remember not being a believer. So her faith began prior to her memory. Mm. But for others, it can be, you know, just one of those moments where all of a sudden you have a faith event that shakes you to your core. Mm-hmm. And one moment you realize, I have no hope, and the next moment you realize full hope. Mm. So however we get to that point, we're all actually at the same place. It's a confession on our part that, God, I need you, and I want you into my life. And by virtue of my acceptance of your plan for me, which is the gift of your Son. And I want the forgiveness that comes through him. I want the hope that comes through him. I want the peace, the grace, the purpose, the strength, so that I'll never walk alone again. I may fail still, but from time to time, you know, I'm going to struggle. But overall, every day, I hope I'm getting a little closer to becoming that person that God wants me to be, so that the people around me benefit from my life.
Amen. We're winding down the show, and it's, gosh, I have one more question, but we might not be able to finish it in total. But if I could just give you this one more, and of course, I'm going to beg you to come back on the show again. I have people that approach me that say, I can't believe in a God who would create a world where there is such suffering and misery and death and babies dying and natural destruction and people being beheaded overseas. Again, it's not fair to, with a couple minutes left in the show, to toss that one at you, but you have a quick thought.
Well, I will have
us?
To come back for my longer answer on that. But I would say this. Even if I don't believe in God, doesn't mean he's not there. Mm. I'm limiting myself. If I want to live in a world that you've described without a God, then what do I have? Mm. Then I just have emptiness and suffering with no meaning and purpose. Mm-hmm. But in my world, there is a God who loves his world and wants to give us grace in the midst of the suffering. So it's a great topic, and we can explore that more maybe next time.
Well, I know we've got baseball season coming up here.
We sure
soon.
Do. I'm excited.
Are we looking good again? Because
we're
know
looking
you've...
really good. We had our banquet over at UVA recently, and I got to meet a lot of the young guys. And I was over at the field the other day. We're gonna have a great baseball team again. And then I'm looking forward to the Tomcats. I'm excited working with Jeff Burton and those folks, too, with the program. So it's going to be good.
Yeah, and, of course, we've got, I'm sure, some great things ahead of us with UVA basketball coming down the stretch here.
And
what a job Tony and his staff have done there. Well, listen, Dr. Jenkins, I am so thankful for you and the influence you've had on my life and many others in this area. So I would just say to you and to your bride, your entire family, and to all of our listeners, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and give you peace. This is Everyday Faith Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in with us today. I hope that you have an awesome Sunday. And again, if you're looking for a great place to read in the Bible today, we've been talking a lot about the book of Acts, which is in the New Testament. It's right after the four Gospels. Pick it up, read the Word, ask God to reveal himself, and he will. Dr. Jenkins, thanks for being on the show.
Hey, thank you.
Heal our broken hearts. Let your presence overwhelm. Come restore and make us new. God, we need you to come.